Stories based on an author's own experience. An introduction. It is often said that the best writers write about something they know, something they understand, and it's excellent advice. So when authors of the calibre of Stephen Crane, James Fenimore Cooper, Joseph Conrad, Fyodor Dostoevsky, and many others share that experience with us, a bond of trust and respect is easily attained.
Baa Baa Black Sheep by Rudyard Kipling. Baa Baa Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, 3 bags full. 1 for the master, 1 for the dame, none for the little boy that cries down the lane. The first bag. When I was in my father's house, I was in a better place. They were putting Punch to bed, the Ayah and the Hamal, and Mita, the big surti boy with the red and gold turban. Judy, already tucked inside her mosquito curtains, was nearly asleep. Punch had been allowed to stay up for dinner. Many privileges had been accorded to Punch within the last 10 days, and a greater kindness from the people of his world had encompassed his ways and works, which were mostly obstreperous. He sat on the edge of his bed and swung his bare legs defiantly.
"Punch Baba going to Bailo?" said the Ayah suggestively. "No," said Punch. "Punch Baba wants the story about the Rani that was turned into a tiger. Mita must tell it, and the Hamal shall hide behind the door and make tiger noises at the proper time."
"But Judy Baba will wake up," said the Ayah.
"Judy Baba is waking," piped a small voice from the mosquito curtains. "There was a Rani that lived at Delhi. Go on, Mita."
And she fell asleep again while Mita began the story. Never had Punch secured the telling of that tale with so little opposition. He reflected for a long time. The Hamal made the tiger noises in 20 different keys.
"Top," said Punch authoritatively. "Why doesn't Papa come in and say he is going to give me put-put?"
"Punch Baba is going away," said the Ayah. "In another week, there will be no Punch Baba to pull my hair any more."
She sighed softly, for the boy of the household was very dear to her heart.
"Up the ghauts in a train," said Punch, standing on his bed. "All the way to Nasik, where the Rani Tiger lives."
"Not to Nasik this year, little Sahib," said Mita, lifting him on his shoulder. "Down to the sea, where the coconuts are thrown, and across the sea in a big ship. Will you take Mita with you to Belait?"
"You shall all come," said Punch from the height of Mita's strong arms. "Mita and the Ayah and the Hamal and Beanie in the garden and the Salam Captain Sahib Snake Man."
There was no mockery in Mita's voice when he replied,
"Great is the Sahib's favour,"
and laid the little man down in the bed, while the Ayah, sitting in the moonlight at the doorway, lulled him to sleep with an interminable canticle such as they sing in the Roman Catholic Church at Parel. Punch curled himself into a ball and slept. Next morning, Judy shouted that there was a rat in the nursery, and thus he forgot to tell her the wonderful news. It didn't much matter, for Judy was only 3, and she would not have understood. But Punch was 5. And he knew that going to England would be much nicer than a trip to Nasik. And Papa and Mama sold the brougham and the piano, and stripped the house, and curtailed the allowance of crockery for the daily meals, and took long counsel together over a bundle of letters bearing the Rocklington postmark.
"The worst of it is that we can't be certain of anything," said Papa, pulling his moustache. "The letters in themselves are excellent, and the terms are moderate enough."
"The worst of it is that the children will grow up away from me," thought Mama, but she did not say it aloud.
"We are only one case among hundreds," said Papa bitterly. "You shall go home again in 5 years, dear."
"Punch will be 10 then, and Judy 8. Oh, how long and long and long the time will be, and we have to leave them among strangers."
"Punch is a cheery little chap. He's sure to make friends wherever he goes."
"And who could help loving my Jew?"
They were standing over the cots in the nursery late at night, and I think that Mama was crying softly. After Papa had gone away, she knelt down by the side of Judy's cot. The Ayah saw her and put up a prayer that the Memsahib might never find the love of children taken away from her and given to a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?